This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Super excited to be here. Thank you so much. I've been really looking forward to this talk. So there's a couple different things I want to talk about, and then I'm super excited about the Q&A that we're going to have in the, towards the end of this. I think the thing that most interests me is if you're at this conference right now, obviously in looking at this event from afar, how heavily it was promoted around me, and I think about why would you want to come, why, what value am I bringing, what are you trying to figure out? For me, you know, it's incredibly important when you give a speech that the speech is completely predicated on the value you can bring to the audience, not in what the audience can bring to you. And so for me, what's super important in this talk is, I think what's most remarkable, and if I could help it, what I would most want to get through to people that are here is, regardless of how big you think this opportunity is, and when I say this opportunity, look, this device, let me make it very clear because I don't think I've articulated it often. In 2007 or 6 or whenever the hell the iPhone came out, it was very basic. I saw that the iPhone came out and I made a singular bet, which was that this device was going to be the most important device in the world, because over the last 10 years, from 96 to 2006 at that point, I, along with my dad, were able to build a very large business on the back of the internet itself. I watched a single store, liquor store in Springfield, New Jersey, able to reach national awareness at a very low cost on the back of something called the internet. How many people over 40 in this room, raise hands? Don't be embarrassed, be louder about it. Over 40? Yeah. Fucking go. We still have it. One more time, I wanna see how many hands of 40 and older. So for all the youngsters in this room, the hands that just went up, what the advantage they have in today's business world is we have context of what the world looked like pre-internet. We lived a full childhood pre-internet. We lived life without the internet. And what that did was allow me to context what was possible and how much it cost pre-internet versus what was possible and what it cost post-internet. What I was able to do to bring to my family business and the growth in revenue would have not been possible if we opened up a second store or third store with that same amount of money. In understanding that, it made me understand how powerful it was. In 2006, and again, this is just very important to lay this down as a framework for everybody here. In 2006, what I realized is, holy shit, the internet can be with you at all times. Now, this sounds outrageously basic, but it has only been about a decade that the internet has been at our fingertips, regardless of where we are. At this point, everybody in this room, when their internet gets a little bit slower, freaks the fuck out. Like, literally, I'm not in the US, and my plan, after a certain amount, slows down my data in the market I'm in. Literally, while I was waiting to get picked up from a car, you know, about an hour ago, was when I switched from my normal speed to this half speed that I'm on right now. Literally, the last hour has been the worst fucking hour of my life. Like, I just can't even open a tweet. Like, I can't do anything. I'm crippled by something that is only new to me in the last 10 years. It is now my norm. You get really used to things really fast. On that bet that this was going to be the most important device, I've been able to achieve a next level of success, predicated on a couple of things, but most of all, if you look back at my career, me investing in Tumblr and Facebook and Twitter was predicated on the fact that they were app companies on top of the phone. My friends, Facebook Inc., which includes WhatsApp and Instagram, is basically on its way to becoming a $1 trillion company on the fact that it's just an app company on your phone. Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp are apps on your phone. Apps, three apps on your phone worth $1 trillion. You have to understand how unbelievably important attention is. Attention is the only asset. The one thing that I know I can bring to this entire room is that regardless of what you're doing, you sell sneakers, you're a lawyer, you're in real estate, you're an investment banker, you're an actress, you're an actor, whatever you're trying to achieve, the one thing, the only thing I could talk about besides us being humans that connects every one of us is that we are all striving for other people's attention to then be able to tell them what we want. Whether you want to raise money for a nonprofit, become the mayor of your town, or build a $1 billion business selling sneakers, you need attention. The attention of our society lives on this device. The attention of our society lives on this device. Let me make you one promise in this room today. Unless you are producing content that is meaningful to an audience on this device across 7 or 8 platforms, podcast, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, like unless you're producing content in written form, audio form, or video form across 7 to 10 apps on this device, unless you are relevant on those 10 apps, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, if you are not, you are fundamentally irrelevant in society. This is a very important thing to understand because I know there's people sitting here who have $11 million business and are super happy and aren't even on social media. I get that, but what you're not factoring in is what happens next. To me, what's most important is not today. I stand up here and so unbelievably appreciative of that reception that I just got and knowing how many of you came here to hear me speak, but I promise you, as I breathe here right now, I recognize that literally everything I did an hour ago and back is irrelevant if I'm unable to execute going forward. Tomorrow, if I start making the wrong decisions and not executing, begins the vulnerability of unwinding everything I've done. And I think we all understand in society, we react much heavier to mistakes than we do to successes. The reason I'm pushing that you're irrelevant if you're not here is I don't think everybody here, including myself, has factored in how much more attention is going here. Let me promise you this. No matter what you think about technology, your kids on iPads all day, you always on the phone, nobody talking to each other, how you judge kids because they don't shake people in the hand and look in the eye, and all the other horseshit that demonizes technology, right this second, the way we interact with technology is the most basic you will ever see in your life. 10 years from now, every one of these phones, every one of these video game platforms, every one of these websites are gonna seem like a fucking beeper and MySpace. You have to understand this. Here's why. There is nobody here pot committed enough to this, including myself. There is nobody in this theater right now pot committed to this enough, including myself. When I say pot committed to this, what do I mean? I mean every person in this room needs to take a substantial step back and understand, am I producing enough pictures, videos, written words in these platforms to achieve what I want? And the answer, and I'll save you time, is no for everybody. And for somebody who's putting out 85 pieces of content a day, across audio, video, and written word a day, my answer is staggeringly no. Meanwhile, there are people here who take 4.5 hours to figure out a perfect Instagram post because they want it to look good when somebody lands on their fucking profile. It's true. The quickest gateway, the quickest execution for everybody here to get whatever the hell they're trying to get out of here today is to produce content on 10 websites. The quickest way for you to get what you want in your life is to produce videos, pictures, and written words across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, podcast, your website, email, text messaging platform, period. You know what's crazy? I literally wanna say right now, thank you, London, I'm out. It is like, I'm thrilled to go into the mindset. I'm thrilled to tell you, and if you follow me on Instagram, this is where I've taken most of my content. I'm thrilled to tell you that the reason you're not producing enough content is unfortunately you value other people's opinions more than your own ambition and happiness. That literally pants 47 can leave a content that you're ugly and it makes you stop posting. I can go into that. I can go into a million other things, but I make this very clear and obvious. The reason I am just beginning to succeed in my ambitions is because today is the least amount of content that I will produce, because I will produce more tomorrow and more the next day. You have to understand, media dictates everything, right? There's a specific reason that when there is a coup in a country that the army goes and takes over the TV network and the newspaper. Communication is the game. Maybe because of being born in the Soviet Union and raised in the US, I had this paradox of being fascinated by a closed and open system of communication. Maybe because I'm an extrovert and I talk a lot. I don't know why, but something came natural to me my whole life, which is communication. What are the things that make people do things, right? What I'm fascinated by is the democratization of media. What I'm fascinated by is that everybody here, how many people here have been following me for more than 1 year? Raise your hand. The fact that 90% of this audience knows that all I want you to do is run Facebook and Instagram ads and you still aren't, makes me want to punch all of you in your fucking face. I mean, literally all I've been asking you to do for the last 2 years is run Facebook and Instagram ads and you fuck faces still aren't. And I say this because I put it on film, because I'm gonna run this exact video against you in 5 years on some platform telling you that you missed the golden era of Facebook and Instagram because now it's appropriately priced. And you guys have heard me, if you follow me, say this. I regret that I wasn't able to build my dad's business bigger because I didn't spend enough on Google. I didn't spend enough. I had it figured out. It was called Google AdWords. It was working, yet I still was doing newspapers and direct mail and radio and television because I didn't understand the context of the moment that I was living in. I didn't have enough experience to know that I bought something so good, so underpriced, so scalable that I didn't squeeze the fuck out of it enough when Google AdWords was the best. If you follow me, you've heard me say that Amazon was the number one spender on Google AdWords in those early days and literally used that underpriced attention to be what they are today. I want you to spend on Facebook and Instagram because there is a possibility that never in our lives again will you be able to get in front of people at that cost. Let me just say it one more time because I really need you to understand it. This, right now, and this is why I yell at myself, for the $50 or $80 or $100,000 of my own money that I spend on ads on these platforms to continue to build brand, the truth is, I should spend more. We have never lived in a time where brand was this underpriced. Let me explain. What is the biggest difference between me and a lot of people that look like me, or me and the companies that I work with and I get them there? It is the fact that I do branding, not sales. Branding is different than sales. I love when people come up to me like, Gary, I'm a marketer. I'm like, cool, what do you do? Well, I am affiliate marketer and it's, you know, conversion-based, top of the, I'm like, you're a salesman, bro. You're not building a brand. You have 747 URLs that you do landing page optimization against and you convert, and that's amazing. Being an affiliate marketer is amazing, other than the fact that it should be called an affiliate salesman. Brand is why you buy Nike. Brand is why everybody who's wearing jewelry and watches right now are wearing what they're wearing, because they bought on brand, not somebody cookied them on Instagram and remarketed to them, and then they bought that watch, for the most part. And so I brand, and why I love brand is because it's in perpetuity. When you build a brand, you can play on that brand for a very, very, very long time. Why Facebook and Instagram are special, and more special than Google is in Google's heyday, it was not that I was building brand for Wine Library, I was building sales, because when you go on Google, all of our businesses are the same because they're blue letters on a landing page that you click. Brand is when your pictures and videos look different in a feed. Look, I think I'm coming out of the gate in this talk, and I'm gonna macro it up in a minute, but I'm coming out the gate in this talk very tactical about the details. In all my rah-rah and fuck what people say and self-esteem and all the mental shit that I believe in tremendously, because that's what gives you the engine. You know, you're not gonna execute shit if you're depressed or insecure. So like, I believe in it, but I'm putting it on a shelf, UK. I'm putting it on a shelf with you right now Because an event that is so heavily marketed against me, knowing that you've heard a lot of this, I need one thing. I need two people to leave here who've been hearing me pound them in the fucking face about running ads on these two platforms to finally say, fuck, it's enough, I'm gonna do it. And watch this, this is very, very important. And please don't bullshit, raise your hands. How many people here have run Facebook and Instagram ads and it has not worked for their business? Raise your hands. Raise it high. Me too, because not every execution works. Not every execution works. It doesn't mean it's not ROI positive. The ROI of a basketball for me is $0. It's $1 billion for LeBron. Just because you didn't execute Facebook or Instagram properly doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means you suck. This is going to be the era of regret, and I promise you that. This is going to be the era of regret. The prices of Facebook, and how many people here have been marketing successfully on Instagram and Facebook for the last 3 years? Raise your hands. Three, I need 3 years and I need your hands. If it's less, don't raise it. I just need people banging on it successfully for 3 years. Raise it high, I just wanna get a sense. Keep it up for a second. I love some of the gangsters in here, they're like this because they don't want people to fucking know, I like it. What all of you know that I know, thank you, what the 20 to 50 of you know is it's not as good of a deal today that as it was a year ago, right? Just look around at all the heads that are shaking. It is not as good of a deal today as it was yesterday. Here's where it gets scary, and I'm getting goosebumps. I know there's a bunch of fucking cameras, so maybe you'll zoom in before it goes away. The reason I'm getting goosebumps is you can't imagine the weird life that I live, and let me break it down for you as I've never articulated it before. I live a life today where I spend 3 hours with 3 different clients, spending all my time trying to convince them to move their money from television and billboards and dressing up double-decker fucking buses in London and take that money and spend it on Facebook and Instagram. I then get in a car and come into a room of entrepreneurs and SMBs and tell them to spend money on Instagram and Facebook. What's really crazy about this is the following. Them, corporate, I understand why they're not doing it. Because they are stuck, right? They have, the way they score their marketing doesn't show that it works. Because they score their marketing not in real life. They score it based on awards and reports and stuff that isn't the actual sense of actually selling stuff. We do. The reason the prices have gone up is because other entrepreneurs and small businesses and mainly Silicon Valley startups are pouring enough money in to what is a very simple supply and demand platform, and they've raised the price because there's only one feed, and if I want to get in front of my homie here, before, if 27 other startups didn't want to get in there, the cost of getting into his stream was less. Now that there's 28 of us, it's more. That's how Facebook makes money. That's how Google makes money. Supply and demand platforms, basic as fuck. Do you understand? What is going to happen in the next 10, 12, 24 months is that Evian and Coca-Cola and BMW and Rolex and Puma and Nike and GE and everybody else is gonna wake the fuck up because they're gonna have no choice and they're gonna take their 200 and 100 and 400 and 800 and $900 million budgets and put it into the system. And for all of us that it's working for, because it works at $8 a CPM, $8 to get in front of 1,000 people, 42 of which act, 17 which have convert, that $8 is gonna become $28 where our models break. Attention is like real estate. Attention is like real estate. When Malibu beachfront property or property and buildings in shortage 20 years ago go up for the market and you buy it at the right price and then the market changes, you win. The attention on this device and the platforms is going to change very soon. You are a very unique group of people that feel that the Pied Piper of this opportunity is worth spending an afternoon with, or 2 days, or an hour, what have you. It devastates me that you even pay attention to me at all, and don't execute on the biggest gift that I'm trying to give you. It devastates me that you pay. I don't want your likes. I don't want your following. I definitely don't want to sell you some bullshit in the back of the room. I've already made more money than I need to in my entire life, and I did it long before I even knew who Gary Vee was, because I just don't need a lot of money. I need admiration. You know how I get admiration? That you listen to me, execute, your life's a hell of a lot better, and you email me in 3.5 years and say, thank you so much coming to the UK. Then it finally hit me. At the time, I had been following you for 2.5 years, but something about the way you spoke that day and being in the room finally made me say, fuck it. It took me 3 months and a couple $1,000s, but then I figured it out. And over the last 6 months, guys, if you noticed, I started getting back into sports cards. People are selling me like Michael Jordan rookie cards for like 100% less than market because the email's coming. Literally a baseball card dealer emailed me and said, I was $280,000 in debt 19 months ago, and now I have millions of dollars just by actually finally listening to you. Guys, one more time, people winning on Facebook and Instagram, raise your hands. The people that have their hands up, by show of hand or wave your arm or whatever the fuck we're gonna do, admit to yourself, then me, then them, that when you first started doing it, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing, but it's so easy and so underpriced that anything we did worked, correct? Underpriced attention. It works every time. It's about to go away, and let me be very clear, for all the nice little things I said about everything over the last 8 minutes, this talk for the last 10 minutes is selfish. I cannot wait, and I mean wait, to run this video to the world when this goes away and everyone's crying and all you fuckers are gonna email me and say, Gary, you have to help me. What's next? And I'm gonna say, Sally, nothing, dick, you fucked up. '04 to 2014 was a long decade before something came along that even remotely looked like Google AdWords early for me. And there is no guarantee in augmented reality or voice or any other technology, AI, that's coming that we will have this opportunity to communicate to people about what we want to at such a price that even if you're average, you will get business results. My friends, you should leave this keynote right now, get in the fucking tube, go home and fucking figure out how to start running ads. And I don't mean go home and hire some 26-year-old to run ads for you, I mean you have to go home and spend 10 hours reading and watching videos of how to actually run a Facebook ad, how to actually make a picture and video for it, and watch the results so you taste it. You have to taste it. You have to be a practitioner of it because it is the lotto ticket of the moment and everybody is just letting it slide by. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thrilled. To be frank, it's better for me if you don't do it, because it makes it cheaper for me to do it. But in my complete obsession with being historically correct and admired, I'm giving it to you. What's fascinating is a long time ago, I figured out why I don't sell my best advice, why I give it away for free. Why? Because 99% of you aren't gonna do anything about it. It's the biggest brain fuck ever. I mean, I would argue that that was a pretty compelling 15-minute rant to get you to run a fucking Instagram ad. And 99% of you are still not going to. Brother, I don't give a fuck. Just do it. Don't tell me. Just do it. This is so ridiculous. Let me bounce around a couple other things. Let's talk about content, because I just talked about distribution. The other thing is you gotta fill the ads. The reason I film myself fully is by filming myself, I've been able to create a system that allows me to produce more content than anybody. What I find fascinating about Gary Vee, my persona, me, it's actually me, but what I find fascinating about it is I spend 18 hours a day running a company. I am not an influencer. I am not a personal brand. I am an operator. a business operator, not only running Vayner, but all the other things at VaynerX, whether it's Pure Wow or 1:37 p.m. or something else we're about to announce. Not 15 minutes ago, speaking to AJ about Vayner Sports and what we're gonna do there, he runs it, I obviously do my thing. On the phone with my dad and Brandon last night about a thing, I'm in it. I'm fucking working every fucking minute, every second, all the time, always, and I'm putting out more content than people that are a personal brand for a living. Why? Not because I'm out hustling them, because I outsmarted them. It's based on understanding what I'm actually doing and what I hope a lot more of you do. The reason I film myself is the following. By filming myself, it gives me unlimited opportunity to not only create video, but to create audio and written word. And one of the biggest things I believe in the world is you do not create friction for the end customer. If you wanna consume me on Instagram, I'm gonna give it to you. If you wanna listen to me on podcast form while you're running, I'm gonna give it to you. If you wanna consume a 1 hour keynote and watch it on Roku, I'm gonna fucking give it to you. I create no friction for any of you to consume me. So many of you are producing content and you create friction because you only fuck with Instagram or YouTube, but you leave everything else out. So you narrow your upside because you're doing what you wanna do, not what they want. Literally every single maneuver I make in business is 100% predicated on the audience. 100%. So the, you know, people always love to razz me, they're like, Gary Vee, you're such a fucking digital guy, why do you write books? Because people read them, asshole. I don't read them, but people read them. And so I am unbelievably imploring you to understand a couple things. I have a top 100 global podcast, yet I never sit down and do a podcast. Why? Because I'm able to extract the audio. This talk right now is an episode of one of my podcasts in 7 weeks. You know it. This is how it is. It's also going to be an article in LinkedIn called Last Stance for Instagram Ads, you dick faces, you know? It's also gonna be three little clips on Instagram of especially Q&A where I'm able to talk about new things instead of the pillars that I believe in, and on and on and on. I can't implore you guys more to get home and get serious about content creation. If you are fortunate enough to be extroverted or lack insecurity in front of a camera, you should be filming yesterday. If, but I also have empathy that it's not for everybody. And if it's not, and you love writing, I am thrilled that you'll be writing. And let me tell you something about writing. One of the things that I see so many of you, and I've been watching people mention this and looking at their Twitters and looking at their Instagrams and DMing some of you, so many of you are relying too heavily on just the pictures on Instagram and not adding context and copy. I believe copy, the written word, is the great underdog right now in content creation. We've become so visual with pictures and video, we've punted written word. I can't write for shit and I'm doing it. I really implore most of you to do the following. Take a step back and figure out how you communicate to the world. How do you communicate to the world? Are you best at audio? Are you good at video? Do you write? If you're lucky enough that you can do video, that is where you go, because what video does is allows you to then edit it underneath it into audio and written word. If you don't, that's fine too. Forcing it will never work. We've seen a lot of people try to do video online, and it's been scary and ugly and a train wreck. It's just not for them, and that's fine. So what I'm thinking a lot about is how to put you in a position to succeed in content creation, and then figure out how to be great at distributing it. When you get to the distributing part, my friends, you have to respect the context of the platform. I'm watching so many people that are in B2B try to win on Instagram, but they're acting like Instagram's LinkedIn. Doesn't matter if you're a lawyer or a financial advisor or you sell concrete, if you treat Instagram like LinkedIn, even though your business is more LinkedIn, you will lose. If you do not respect the context of the room, you will lose. These platforms are rooms. They are rooms. Fuck. It's just so intense. Like, you know, like I'm just, the reason I just went there, I'm just like thinking, I'm like, how the hell do I get them to understand? Like, how do I get people to understand how big of a deal this is? Like, nothing is more valuable than attention. It's the only, I literally value attention equal to oxygen. Like, it just, I couldn't get you to understand it more if you got inside my head. And I can't figure out how to break people through, which is how, ironically, I think you'll find this interesting. I think the reason that I was willing to go back to mindset and motivation over the last year and a half, where after 4 years, I was basically quiet about that because I didn't want to be a motivational speaker, was because I'm so desperate for you to communicate more to the world. As I met more and more people, I was like, oh fuck, they're not doing it because they don't know how to make a picture or video written, it's because this is broken. They're insecure here. That's why they're not making, and that's the problem. I mean, there are people here that literally post on Instagram, and if they don't get enough likes, they delete it. They delete it because they think it's a scarlet letter that shows their audience doesn't give a fuck. They're playing the wrong game. It's short. Like, do you know how many people email me every day saying, Gary, how do I get to 10,000 followers? I'm at 4,000. Like, that means something. We just have to change the paradigm of this conversation. We have to. Let me talk about a couple other things. How many people here in B2B, how many people here are entrepreneurs? Raise your hands, just for a sense. How many people here are employees at a company? Raise your hands. So for many of the entrepreneurs here, another thing that I would highly recommend is looking very deeply at influencer marketing. I can't get over the fact of how underpriced influencer marketing is, how much it converts, and how wild, wild west it is. Here's what I mean. Just because somebody has 800,000 followers on Instagram and you pay them $1,000 and somebody else has 40,000 and they want $1,000, I'm surprised how basic people are and they think the 800,000 is the better deal. I understand, it makes sense, the math is pretty clear, but a good affiliate marketer can tell you the conversion's gonna really matter. If you're trying to sell something, whether it's a service or a product, I couldn't push you harder to get into the culture of DMing influencers that you think may represent your brand properly or just have big audiences and start asking them what they would want for them to post about your B2B SaaS product or your new app or your hula hoop or your fucking cool t-shirt or whatever it may be. All I ever think about, I'm very basic. I keep shit super simple on supply and demand. I overlay attention and then culture, what's happening in it, and that becomes me, and I will always do that. No question, the other territory that I'm completely blown away by is influencers. Super underpriced, potentially super overpriced, but not allocating a couple $100, a couple $1,000, tens of thousands of bucks, depending on the size of your business, and putting it into that tunnel and that funnel and tasting it for yourself is a huge missed opportunity. Huge. Let me talk about another execution. I'm really excited about how tactical I'm getting today. Pre-roll YouTube. How many people here consume videos on YouTube? Raise your hands. Cool. Pre-roll YouTube. There's a way for you to segment and target people based on what they searched on Google and then pre-roll them based on what they're doing on YouTube. Meaning, there's a segmentation that allows you to target every single person that searched open houses in downtown London. If you're a real estate agent selling in downtown London and he's searching open houses in downtown London, but then 4 hours later he goes to watch Arsenal videos on YouTube, your pre-roll can show up first based on the context and data that that person created in YouTube search. It is one of the unbelievably strong brand and sales executions in the game, and you should literally go home and Google, because I don't know what Google's proper terminology is of this segmentation, how do I segment based on Google search as a pre-roll YouTube ad? Verbatim that. How do I search pre-roll YouTube ads based on Google search queries? Thanks, Dad. Next. This is the next version of this. We just talked about being a great advertiser. Let me tell you about the ultimate in being an advertiser, to become a media company. The number one piece of advice I would have for this room, besides perfectly executing on Facebook, Google, and Instagram in 2018, is to start thinking of themselves as a media publisher comma, whatever you do for a living. When you start thinking of yourself, as I do, as a publisher, as a media entity, I think of myself not as a Tim Ferriss or a Tony Robbins or a shark on Shark Tank. I think of myself as Wall Street Journal and Business Insider and Fast Company. I think about the world as a publisher, not as a human. Why this is important is for all the same reasons I said about advertising. If you are capable of putting out content as a media company, which means you're trying to bring value to the audience in entertainment or utility, not selling them something, when you switch from being a commercial on TV to being a TV show, you start selling a lot more. When you switch your mind from being an ad in the Wall Street Journal to being the Wall Street Journal in the videos, podcast, emails, and LinkedIn posts that you put out to the world, everything changes. My friends, this is undeniably the biggest shift of attention that the human being has had. This internet thing, it's big, and it's just starting. My great concern, how many people here are retiring in the next 10 years? And I don't mean you're gonna fucking kill it and go fucking buy an island. I mean, you're fucking old and you're finished. Raise your hands. That old dude, 2, 3. No way, you're way too young. Cool. So for 6 people in here, I have a little more empathy. But for the rest of you, if you do not start becoming perfect at Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, podcasts, you're in deep shit. Because what's coming behind this is like a marathon versus the treadmill that I'm trying to get you on. And what will happen is, and this is why, actually, another show of hands real quick. How many people here are having their best business year ever? Raise your hand. First of all, let's clap it up for everybody. That's awesome. One more time, hi. You'll find this interesting. So that's fucking awesome, and that makes me super happy. It also makes me worried. The people that I'm most worried about in this room are the ones that are having a great year. Because if they're not doing what I'm talking about and they're having a great year, they can only take it with a grain of salt. That becomes their vulnerability. There are so many people that make ridiculous statements in their own head, like Gary's awesome and super motivational, but this shit doesn't work in my industry. You're a fucking idiot. Communication works in every industry. Customers' attention works in every industry. And the reason humongous companies go out of business all the time in the world is they become audacious that the new technologies don't affect their business. There is nobody in here that is as big as the billion-dollar companies that are going out of business every fucking year because of the technology shift. So please, on your 20% growth this year, or on your cute double-digit massive explosion, please do not become audacious and think that everything that's being talked about here doesn't count for the real estate industry in the west side of blah, blah, blah. The level of disruption that is coming is substantial. The opportunity right now is substantial. And I highly and desperately, like desperately, desperately, am passionate about this audience who decided to allocate me with the thing that I value the most, attention, goes and takes theirs. Every single time I do this, a month or two later, I get one or two of people that do. It is fundamentally foolproof if you're willing to make 100% of an effort. And when I say foolproof, nothing is foolproof. If you're willing to unbelievably work and understand how the ads work, and unbelievably work and understand how the pictures, videos, and written words work, you will hit pay dirt, mainly on the back of what I did earlier when said, hey, for everybody that's got it, wasn't it so weirdly easy? The answer is yes. The attention is just so grossly underpriced. And it won't be. And so I'm passionate, as you can tell, and I'll tell you something. How many people here actually have been, 2014, how many people here have been following me for more than 7 years? It shouldn't be a lot, but I wanna see it. Raise your hands. So for the 20 or 30 of you, you know, I got quiet in 12, 13, 14, 15. Like, I was quiet, there wasn't content. Wine was done, I wasn't making business videos, like once or twice a year, a keynote from a talk, because I was doing a little talking. I got quiet, because there was nothing to yell about. Facebook and Twitter were organic. The ads weren't working this way. People were spending time still on television and TV and print and other things and other websites. Remember other websites? Remember other websites? Remember we used to go to other websites? Like, look what fucking, I mean, look what Instagram has done. Like, it's sucked everybody in there. You don't go to sports site, you don't go to ESPN.com as much, you just get the highlight from 433. They've sucked us in. It's there for the taking. As much as I'm pumped that you wake up and you see a quote of mine on Instagram and you get fired up and you're ready for the day for 3 hours, but then some bullshit happens and you're depressed again. As much as that's fun for me, what's way fucking more fun is if you go put in fucking work for 20 to 50 hours, actually figure out what the fuck I'm talking about, watch what I'm doing, not what I'm saying, and you get the benefits of what's going on, not just me. London, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. To be frank, and I wanna make sure the team's ready, I cut it 5 minutes short because I know we're about to do Q&A, and very honestly, I think I've made my point. You know, I'd like to go into details, and by the way, I know a lot of you have context. You can go in, you can ask me a wine question, a Jets question, I don't care, but I'd love to get into Q&A. I'm trying to get a sense. Do you guys have the mics?
Yeah.
You guys feeling good?
We're gonna do the final thoughts.
Oh, the final thoughts from everybody? And then the Q&A, cool. We're gonna get final thoughts from everybody and then we're gonna go into Q&A. Thank you so, so much for listening to that, and please, for the love of God, go execute on it. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi Gary, I traveled 10,000 miles from Pakistan to make sure I attend this
Thank you so much.
Two main questions. Fear of failure and shame are like taboos in our society, Pakistan, India,
huge.
Bangladesh. What people would, what other people would think. And it's something that you really press on. Could you please share once again some wisdom on how can people grow out of this, that what would other people think? And before I go, one last thing, brother. Can I come and hug you? You are a true inspiration, please.
Yes, you can, come on.
You are a true inspiration.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you so much. Look, I think, you know, it's really interesting. I was so outrageously fortunate that I was parented in a way that it wasn't about what my mom wanted, it's what I wanted for myself, and she created a framework for me to be able to live within that. Unfortunately, I genuinely believe that 98% of parents want and view their kids as a product, and that their success is an indication on them. It becomes more extreme in the Middle East, in Asia, in Southeast Asia, where it goes so batshit crazy that it's like, I'm planning a pretty substantial trip to India and the Middle East next year, and I can't wait, because literally the only reason I'm going is to punch every parent in the fucking mouth. The way to break away from fear of failure is to stop valuing the person that judges you that you failed. Guys, I mean, it's very cliche, but it's very true. Life is fucking remarkable when you don't give a fuck about anybody's opinion. You have to break away from that facade. And you know what's really sad? Parents that were forced by their parents to be engineers and doctors and hated it are forcing their kids to be engineers and doctors. It's a vicious cycle. The only way to break it is to actually understand that the best thing you can do to love your parents is to make yourself happy so that you don't resent your parents for the rest of your life.
Hi, Gary.
How are you? Get closer to the mic, brother.
Sure, sure. Super duper nervous, so forgive me if I stutter or anything else like that, right? So basically, I'm about to embark on a project. I've got to.
Can you get closer to the mic, brother? I'm struggling to hear you.
Is it much better?
Yeah, better.
I'm about to embark on a project which is going to make me kind of go head to head with some giants in a particular industry I'm in, mainly real estate. And I'm kind of daunted by the prospect of going up against some of these giants, if I'm honest with you.
And where is the giant located?
So, I mean, basically, I'll try to cut a long story short. I have this domain. It's called roomlet.com. Shameless plug, forgive me. Now, I know it's really important because I've been receiving phone calls for like 50K to take my domain from me. So I've kind of like looked into the spare room market. I mean, I've got real estate background anyway. So, forgive me. Basically, there's a company right now, and they have like 67% market share of this particular industry. It's like spare rooms and
that's good
and things like that. But if I launch, I'm going up against these the big dogs, big time, and I'm not. I'm a small guy and a big.
But what's your alternative?
Well, I can keep doing my real estate business and keep working that out, but this is an opportunity for me to do something big. But there is this prospect of going up against big money and big companies. And
brother, there's the prospect that you don't do it, and because you didn't do it, you went on a flight tomorrow to a different place, and the plane crashes and you die.
Oh, okay.
No, I know it's an extreme example. Like, everyone always worries about the prospect of losing without realizing there's a million things. Like, life is such a matrix. Like, sure, there's that prospect. Tomorrow, that big company may have a huge scandal, and the entire C-suite is blown out, and they have to recalibrate for 2 years, which was the reason you were able to go on the offense and scoop up. Business and life is pretty basic. You're either on the offense or you're on the defense, right? My biggest thing looking at you is you're so young. Like, even if you lose, you have plenty of time to rebuild again. I'm a giant that owns 60 to 70% of a marketplace is normally the most vulnerable thing a small entrepreneur can go up against. That's why they fucking wrote David versus Goliath. Like, that is the opportunity. I would hate if there was eight people in the middle, 13% each, then be like, I love when there's somebody that's 70% of the market. That means they're sleeping and underestimating.
Okay. Now, can I get a hug?
How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Close to the mic.
Okay.
What's your name? What's your name?
It's Roy.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. You too. So I was wondering, actually, because my thoughts are so fucking scattered all the time, and I'm doing e-commerce. I'm doing an application right now and a software as well, and I'm just so scattered with my time, and I just don't know like what to focus on. As I said, everyone in this fucking room has time on their side. Like right now, we have like one more year before these big companies catch on to Facebook and pour more money back into that. As you said, I know that, but like, what should I do? I'm doing all the ads and it's working out for me fine, but I feel like, should I move just into one thing and pour like all my money back into it?
Well, what are you trying to accomplish?
I mean, like, I'm trying to hustle as hard as I can currently with my...
But to do what? Are you trying to maximize money? Are you trying to have fun?
I'm trying to maximize money. Like, all my money that I have right now.
Then if you're trying to maximize money, you pour it into the thing that's bringing you the most return.
Okay.
Like, I do 87 things, all of which are a complete waste of time, including, like, I don't know if you guys are following, I go garage sailing on Saturday to make, like, $8 on flipping fucking stuffed animals.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Because it makes me happy.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to know what you're trying to accomplish. The reason it's fun to be an entrepreneur and do eight things is it's fun. But if you're trying to maximize money and you figured out Facebook to some degree, well then you put it down the funnel that's maximizing the money.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely stick to that. Do you mind if I take a picture with you?
Sure.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hiya, I'm Palmer, so good they named me twice. Oh, good, I get to hold the mic for a while. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Palmer. So good they named me twice. I am 50, doing it for the women. Finally getting there. I love your post the other day about getting out there and doing it. Every day, people say to me, I'm resilient, and that's because it's authentic, because it's my struggles I've had.
Yes.
I would like you to share with us one experience that you're happy to share that has made you the most resilient person that we all love and admire, because that's what gets you again and again being consistent.
You know, it's interesting you ask that, and obviously not in these formats, but a lot of times when I'm being interviewed for a profile, a lot of people go there, and it's really tough. I think authenticity really plays, and I think the thing that has really worked for me is being authentic. It's a really tough question for me because I'm so ridiculously fortunate. You know, I was unfortunate in the fact that I basically lost 3 grandparents before I got to know them, right? I've been fortunate in the fact that, like, the only thing that feels like something that I would want to be resilient to, because I have a very interesting framework. Basically, all I care about is the health and well-being of 11 people. So, like, the fact that the closest people to me in my life have not died or been terminally ill, everything else feels so secondary. I don't think about when the kids in Dover made me drink pee out of a Pepsi can as an issue. I don't think about having, like, my whole life, my school taught me that, told me I was a loser. Like, adversity for me was always in play. Like, I was small, so I wasn't an over athlete. I got bad grades. Like, pretty much, you know, like, outside, everything inside my house was perfect, and everything outside was adversity, but nothing extreme. I've never dealt with, you know, being sexually harassed or having a tragic accident, all the things that I look in society and I have so much empathy for as such a tragic event. At the same token, people shit on me every day because they're like, your dad gave you $3 million, we shouldn't listen to you, without realizing my dad didn't give me anything and I spent my entire 20s and mid-30s building a business that I own 0% of, and basically, I started VaynerMedia out of somebody else's conference room because I had no money. I was 34 years old. Like, when I tell all of you to be patient, how many people under 30? Had no fucking money. Everybody fucking wants to be a baller at 26 on Instagram and fucking be on jets. Had no money, I played patient. So it's really interesting. When you ask the question, the answer is nothing and everything.
Yeah.
I learned how to lose from the beginning. I learned how to lose from the beginning. I was an immigrant, we came from very humble beginnings, we walked to Kmart. Like, I've always learned, I was losing from the get. Teachers said I would never be anything, but I didn't hear them, because I had such great infrastructure at home telling me I was the best. And then I found my thing, and then I was patient. You know, everyone says I'm so lucky. I gave up all my high school years, all my college years. I had no fun. There's no memories. There was fucking work. I put in the work. The answer is, the adversity has been in my system from the get, and the biggest reason I worry about modern day parenting is everybody here with kids is trying to eliminate adversity from their kids, which basically turns them into zoo animals, which is why they don't know how to deal with negativity when they go into the real world. So the answer to your question is, my entire fucking life, I was told by the establishment that I sucked, which is why I played outside of the establishment, which is why I'm fucking killing the establishment. I guess that's the thing. I get it. I was about to say no just to make it weird.
I'm a very passionate woman. Aww.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you take a photo, my dear friend?
Thank you.
Awesome. So you're welcome. My guy.
Hey, Gary. Love you, man.
I love you back.
I want to say that, you know, you've inspired me in many ways because I can relate to you on different levels. I work 7 days a week in my dad's restaurant, and still I've branded myself since 2014 in the crypto space. I'm known online as the Cryptovator because I motivate people. And I believe that, you know, what you said about Instagram and Facebook, the next challenge is basically people branding themselves with crypto.
I understand.
And I think blockchain is the future. I think not many people understand this, 99% of the population of the world. But the other thing is, like, when the governments tag everybody and we all kind of are controlled and we want to brand ourselves with crypto and this education. The thing is, what I'm facing right now is a lot of people that are my followers, they're ex-marketers or they want to get into the crypto space, and the last year they did. And they're kind of going back to selling water because the crypto has gone down. But it's very difficult for me to position myself as an influencer and get people out of that mindset of making quick money to thinking long term. Now, what would your advice be because I have a cryptocurrency course. I'm trying to brand myself. Am I doing the wrong thing?
My advice is what I did, which is all that crypto is another land grab for people that are looking for a quick buck versus people that are in it for the long term. When social media came out in 2006 and 7 and 8, and I was one of the voices, a lot of voices in that space were doing real estate 5 minutes earlier and are now doing crypto. And like, so I think the biggest mistake that I heard from you is I'm struggling to establish myself as an influencer. When one tries to establish themselves as an influencer, it often is the quickest way for them not to be an influencer. I think what you need to do is put out content and be historically correct. You need to bring value. I mean, I think the biggest problem with blockchain and crypto is that people don't know how to look at history. Blockchain is an unbelievable technology. I couldn't agree with you more that personal brands and reputation is going to get tokenized. I couldn't agree with you more. But the problem is that 99% of the current cryptocurrencies are gonna go to zero.
I agree.
The same way that all the 99% of the browsers and 99% of the search engines and 99% of the social networks went to zero. The problem is we're now living in a world where crypto is popular and happening with social media as a foundation. So what you have is a lot of people trying to build personal brands. They're hyperbolizing, making ridiculous claims. The amount of poor kids that maximized their credit cards and bought Bitcoin at 15,000 that are now underwater is extreme. It's never talked about. I personally have 100 emails of it, and I'm not even talking about the space that often. So imagine what's really going out there. My answer to you is very simple. And this is my answer to everybody, which is why it's long-winded. If you want to be an authority or an establishment in your craft or your passion, none of it is short-term. You don't get to be the expert overnight. The amount of people that are fucking full of straight shit, like my favorite person ever is the 19-year-old life coach. You're fucking 19. And you're a life coach. You know, I think you need to be patient. You know, it's early, and I think what you need to do is put out quality information and let the chips fall. If I ever wanted to be the social media guru, it would have never happened. I wanted to be an operator of a business who talked about social media from his perspective, and I ended up being disproportionately historically correct, which gave me the leverage. I think that's what you need to do.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
I'm one of the one of your followers for a couple of years now who hasn't done anything.
Who hasn't done anything?
No.
I love you. By the way, I already love you so much because the first way to start doing shit is admitting it.
Sorry?
Admitting it. You're now on the verge of potentially doing something.
Yes, definitely. But what one of the things you said when you were talking was that once the big guns come in, it's going to be really difficult. So because I'm coming in quite late...
You're not.
Okay.
I don't know when the big guys are coming. I don't know what your niche is. You know, for him and I, it might work when it's $11 a CPM, $11 to get in front of 1,000 people, 82 of which see it, 17 of which convert. For you, it might be worth $400 a CPM. How many people here did SEO and SEM internet marketing in their career? Raise your hands. So if you guys and gals remember, like back in the day, there was all those words, like some of those weird cancers were worth like $300 a click and everybody was building like sites to like show up organically. Like every market is different. You are absolutely not late to Facebook and Instagram. If you were late, I promise you the 45-minute talk that I just gave would have been about some other subject completely.
So when it does actually happen, how...
I'm not Nostradamus.
No. I didn't ask you when you knew.
Oh, I can't hear it.
When it happens, have you got tips on how we would stay afloat or how we would... be able to survive that.
You're worried about something in the future when you haven't done shit in the present.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it?
Got it.
You'll fucking figure it out. Watch my vlog, I'll tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I just wanted to say thank you because you gave me the confidence to quit my 9-to-5 job that was making me fucking miserable back in July to pursue my dreams. I've got a fashion blog called She Goes Wear. My niche is...
I didn't hear that last part.
I've got a fashion blog called She Goes Wear. It's a workwear blog for women in business. I pitch to brands every day, and so many of them, they're just so follower... focused.
Centric, yeah.
I've got 10,000 followers on Instagram. It's growing every day, but that's all they look at. And so many of them want me to work for free. How should I be working for free?
Let me give you a really good piece of advice. Mm. Brands very quickly, and I think by 2020, this will be more of the market, not less, are caring a lot more lately about depth, not width.
Yeah.
So let me tell you how I would audit your Instagram. If you were like my sister and like, hey, help me. I would look in your comments, and if you are not replying to every single person,
I do.
I love you.
Yeah.
That is huge. I'll tell you why. That will pay dividends for you. Mm-hmm. The other thing you should do is you should 100% reach out to people that have 250,000 followers or more and ask if they want to collab with you.
Yeah, that's what a friend I just met told me to do.
Your friend's smart. That's exactly right. And I would highly do it. Look, your job is to be in business development, comma, a lifestyle, you know, personality.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you were like, hey, how do you think about my business? I would say you should sit on your fucking couch and DM an email for 9 hours a day and spend 1 hour a day creating content.
Yeah, because I think I'm taking too much time sending really long emails. I should just start DMing.
Nobody wants
really
to read
quick.
Your fucking shit. Like, make the email like, yo, you want to give me money?
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants that much, especially brands or people that are managing brands. The other thing you could be doing is tagging brands that you want to work with in your posts so that you become aware to them. But I think collabs, whoever your homie was that said that, I would spend a lot of time on developing your, building depth with your audience, which you're doing, right? Replying.
Mm-hmm.
Doing collabs to grow your base because more awareness will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And spending an unbelievable amount of time business development to get dollars in.
Okay.
Rinse and fucking repeat. I answered every single tweet that I got on Twitter from 2007 to 2011. All of them. The least fucking scalable thing of all time.
Yeah.
So, depth.
Perfect.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Gary. Great talk. My name's James Ski. I'm founder of salesconfidence.com. We all know that you get a lot of our attention because you're in our feeds every 2 seconds.
Yes.
But before you get up and get on the feed, what are the first thoughts that come into your mind? What are you actually thinking when you first wake up?
That's interesting. The first thing I'm thinking is, please God, let there be no fucking fires at the London office. Because the London office is ahead of me when I wake up in New York. I have enormous anxiety when I wake up. And I don't really have anxiety, so I'll call it micro business anxiety, that I literally flip over my phone and I look at all the texts, praying to God that there isn't some fire that I have to address immediately. Luckily, often I don't. So that's my first thoughts. What fire do I have to put out right now? The next thought is, depending on the season. So my next thought, currently in the fall, is usually goes to what are the Jets gonna do this Sunday? Then I poop. Then I look at all my email and all my social to see if anything's brewing. Then I look at my calendar to figure out what I'm doing those 90 days. And then I'm thinking about what I want my first post to be based on an enormous amount of content that me and my team have been thinking about. Pick one, write the copy, and start my day.
Fantastic. Just one final thing, which is the Columbo trick, if anyone's ever heard of it. I'm in New York in February with Sales Confidence. What does it actually take to get on the Gary Vee show?
You'll definitely not get on the Gary Vee show.
Boo!
But you should absolutely email me. I've got this flight tomorrow. I've got to answer a fuckload of tweets, and I'll go through email. I'd love to know what your thoughts are or why you're asking that or what you're trying to achieve.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, brother. One more.
Hello, Gary. All right, so... Yes, yes.
Sorry, everyone.
You made me drop out of college, and my life is wonderful, first of all.
Thank you.
It was 2 years ago. I dropped out of college, did many businesses, 6 figures. I'm 19, and right now I'm mainly focused...
Are you a fucking life coach?
No.
I'm kidding. Keep going.
Right now, I'm just focusing into taking all the leverage I've got and all the brands I've built and sell them right now, and then go into full-on applications and software-first businesses, SaaS businesses.
Are you doing that because you know that SaaS businesses are more valuable than media properties?
Sort of, but I like to have a recurring revenue every month and then invest.
But are you capable of building a SaaS product?
I do believe so.
Okay.
And applications. So I've been a gamer for like my entire life, and I've been in Twitch a couple of times, not really that big, but now I'm focusing to building an application on my Android phone and iOS. So what would you say? Do you think it's a bad idea to stop doing my other businesses and selling them off to just go all in, like $100,000 investment in applications, or should I just hang back for a bit?
I like the, in this scenario, which I've seen a lot,
yes.
Let me tell you how it plays out 99 out of 100 times. Kid sells the thing for 400,000, puts it in a much more competitive marketplace, which with way worse timing, because you built those properties in a time when the land grab was real, fails, gets sad, starts over. One out of every 100 times, she or he builds a huge business and she was right. I like kid finds other hustler kid that's his homie, gives that kid 25% of the action once he vets six of his friends, finding out five are lazy and fucking suck.
I've got one already, Roy. But
they all
the
suck,
guy.
Right? Yeah, I get it. No, just kidding. My intuition is money's cheap, so you might be able to raise capital off the back of the success you've had.
Okay.
You're giving up something that's working.
Yes.
To then take a bet on what I believe is always a thesis that it's bigger. Which is why I asked you.
Yes, yes, that's right.
I don't like you doing it because of a thesis. I like you doing it because you can't breathe. You have an app or a SaaS product that you have to build because the market needs it. Is that the case, or is the case that you're smart and you realize these are bigger and better businesses, let me figure it out?
The former, because I've always been into gaming. I just want to build the app. I can't
breathe. You thought about building apps in Twitch, which I think is a grossly underpriced marketplace right now?
I considered it, but I found Android to be bit more.
Cool, listen, here's what I would say. Do you know the best fucking thing about being 19 is?
What?
You could fuck up for the next 20 years and still be young as fuck. So, for me, it's true. Who here is 39 or older? Raise your hands. You still feel young? You imagine if these fuckers understood what it actually felt like? I would tell you to go high risk, high reward, because you don't want to regret it, and at 19, you have 17 more rodeos in you.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Good luck.
All right. Okay, that was the brief Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up to Gary Vee.
Thank you so much.
One more time.